Hello and welcome to the Work Like a Laker podcast. I'm Megan Rickson and I have Grace Joaquin here with me today. And Grace, today we are talking resume don'ts. Have you ever made a resume don't?
Yes, I made a huge one. It was actually when I was applying to this position.
Oh no. So well, at least it worked out.
I know. I got lucky because they knew me. So I think that either they didn't notice it. Well, I know at least one person did. Or they just knew me and gave me a chance. But yes. I misspelled something on my resume. I mean, to be fair, it wasn't that I misspelled it as much as I left a letter out on accident. But it was in a header. So like a lot of times headers, you might have them be in all caps or something like that. And something to keep in mind is like on Word, it won't let you know if you have a spelling error when you have all capital letters.
So sneaky.
I know.
Word. Yeah.
So it didn't tell me. And funnily enough, the word was education.
Of course.
And I forgot an I in it. So, yeah. So that was pretty embarrassing. And I think I had sent out maybe 10 applications with that resume. And so luckily, my supervisor, Lisa Knapp, had reviewed the resume for the job application and she let me know. So I was able to change it for like future ones. But I'm sure it probably did not help with some of the other applications I had turned in. So, but yeah. And in fact, 77% of employers listed typos and improper grammar as an instant deal breaker in a study from Career Builder. Yikes. So again, I feel like in my situation, it was helpful because they knew me.
Right.
But
you get the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
If you already have like laid the groundwork.
Like they know I know how to spell education.
Yeah.
But other people might not. So
totally.
Anyway, how about you, Megan? Have you ever done a resume don't?
Yeah, I can't remember one. I mean, it likely has happened in terms of typos or grammar, but my resume kind of coming right out of undergrad was just not great because it really lacked accomplishment statements, which is definitely a resume don't, because it was probably a very boring resume. You know, the jobs I had up to that point, you know, had been like your typical customer service roles, and then to just list things like excellent customer service underneath probably wasn't doing me any favors.
Right.
Yeah. So in that same poll from Career Builder, 34% of hiring managers said that an absence of quantifiable results was also an instant deal breaker. So let's get into some of those other ones, shall we? You want to start us off?
Yeah. So aside from those like spelling mistakes and lack of accomplishment statements, another don't is don't include a headshot.
Mm-hmm.
According to Insight Global, including a headshot can do four things that overall detract from your resume. First, it might distract the hiring manager from what's most important, like your skills and experiences. Second, you could get instantly thrown out of the pile to avoid bias or discrimination. I know that's something in our office that we take into consideration.
For sure.
Third, it might make you seem unprofessional due to a cluttered format. And finally, it could hurt your chances with an applicant tracking system or ATS. And we do have another episode about ATS that goes more in depth, but roughly 3/4 of large companies use these systems, which essentially has an AI go through a resume before they get into human hands. And so sometimes those images can really throw off how that AI can read your resume and, you know, kind of put it in the no pile automatically.
Right. Right.
I do have one quick caveat to that, though.
Okay.
Because I always said that was like sort of a hard and fast rule, like no headshots. And one of my best friends is in cosmetology. She was in cosmetology school at Paul Mitchell, and she was doing a resume assignment for her class. And she asked me for help because she knows that's my job. And so I was like, yeah, of course. So we made this like really great professional resume that, you know, we used all of the resources from the Career Center. And I thought it looked awesome. And then she turned it in and it did not go well on the assignment. She had to redo it because, first of all, they wanted a more like pretty format.
Like aesthetically pleasing.
Yes, like a Canva one, if
like
anyone's familiar with
creative.
Those. But yeah, like colorful, creative. Uh-huh. And then specifically they did want a headshot on hers because it was because they're in cosmetology, which I think that, to be fair, no one should have to put it on. And I'm sure she didn't have to, but they did strongly encourage that. So I'm sure there are a couple other examples where maybe it is more common to have a headshot, but 99 times out of 100, leave it off.
Right. And I will say that this is definitely a U.S. standard,
yes.
United States.
Good point.
internationally, it can be much more common to include an image of yourself.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I didn't know that. So interesting.
Yep, much more common. I'm sure that's not across the board, but I definitely know some European countries expect it. So, you know, do your research if you're applying outside of the States.
Yeah, that's just one example probably too of how things might differ.
Right. That's kind of the overall thing with resumes. Like, we have some of these guidelines, but ultimately you want to know who you're sending it to and do your research to figure that out.
They're all subjective, except for maybe like spelling mistakes.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't think anybody's like, give me all the mistakes.
Right.
Okay. So another don't is having too many fonts or colors or graphics. For some of the same reasons that you wouldn't include, you know, the headshot on there. Because you don't want it to feel cluttered. And sometimes having like a flashier color is not going to really be doing you any favors unless, again, you're kind of paying attention to the field you're in. If you're in more of a creative field where you design your resume using Adobe Illustrator, and you're trying to show off your graphic design skills because that's what the position requires, sure, I could see some use of color. But really, we're talking black, dark blue. Those are good things to kind of stick within a super muted color palette. It does make it more readable as well. And then when it comes to font, you really probably want to stick to just one when you say grace. Have you ever recommended two?
I've seen it. I have never necessarily recommended it, but I have seen it be effective if people use two that somehow complement each other, where the headers are maybe all one and the body might be a different, but again, they have to be complementary. So if you have, you have to have like an eye for that, which I don't, I'm just Times New Roman like 100% of the time.
Yeah, so you want to be careful with that. I would say come into the Career Center to get some feedback if you're going for, you know, two fonts, but really anything past that is going to be a no. So stay conservative in the fonts you choose. Even if you're going into, let's say, a more playful field like elementary education, where the things you're going to be creating for your students are likely going to be using very fun fonts,
right?
You know, scripty and pretty. Those sorts of fonts are definitely going to be a bit too whimsical for a professional position, even for a teaching role.
I've seen someone was applying for an elementary position with Comic Sans font on the resume, and it was super cute. And it was something that like you would maybe pass out. Like the look of the resume was similar to a handout you might pass out to a third grader, for example.
Yes.
And I mean that in a good way. But but for a resume, it just didn't really work. So we had to change it up just slightly. There's probably still a few things that you can do to make it a little playful, but still within the realms of what is acceptable.
Yeah, for sure. And then graphics. You know, we already said, of course, no headshots. But you also want to be careful about any other sort of graphics you include. A lot of the templates I've seen, either on Canva or Word, include kind of these bar charts. Have you seen those where it's like showing the skill level?
They look really cool.
They do.
Right.
But when you actually like think about it, you're like, how am I actually quantifying this skill set on a bar graph? I think it's much more effective to use accomplishment statements, to provide descriptions of the skills, where you use them, how you're using them. That's going to be much better for the reader of your resume to actually understand what you, what you've done. So, you know, you can include maybe some strategic graphics, if they make sense for the field you're going into. But again, that those can also kind of mess with the ATS. So,
being aware
of
how you're, we sometimes, I mean, and we probably probably recommended this in our ATS episode that you might want to have two different resumes.
Yeah, exactly.
One that you turn into larger companies online, whatever. And then the other one you have for in person.
If you're handing out
or
at a career fair, for example, or something like that.
Mm-hmm. But either way, you do want to be careful with those graphics because they can also just clutter a resume.
Exactly.
And similar to that, another don't is paragraphs, because if you are writing paragraphs on your resume, they also can clutter it up and make it so that whoever is looking at it might not want to spend the time to actually look through it because they see all of this text and it might be overwhelming.
Yes.
The average resume reviewer actually only spends 7 to 30 seconds looking over a resume, which is not a lot of time.
Nope.
So because of this, it's important for your resume to be readable and easy to skim. Paragraphs of text might deter a reviewer to engage with your resume in depth, so instead you should try using bullets to detail your experiences and qualifications. With that, keep in mind that you want to avoid using pronouns on your resume. And by pronouns in this case, mm-hmm. I'm referring to pronouns like I, me, we, my, and
all
so forth.
All pronouns.
Yes.
Not the pronouns you would share to describe yourself.
Right. Not like she, her.
Yes. Yes.
It's
yes.
more like the ones that you would use in a paragraph. Yes. Like I did, you know, I made, what am I trying to say? I cleaned tables at this restaurant, right? Like you don't want to use the word I in there. So because that, again, just will add unnecessary text to your resume when you want to keep it as to the point as possible.
Yep. Yep. Makes sense. All right. Another resume don't is to not be too generic when you're writing your resume, which I think is always the challenge with a job search when you're like in a full out job search because you're applying to many positions. But the better you can target your resume to the specific position, the better your chances are, I think, of moving forward.
Totally.
18% of employers list a generic resume as a top deal breaker for them. So, you want to think about targeting your resume maybe right at the very top with something like a professional summary, because you're able to kind of pick and choose maybe a few bullet points or a quick description of the pieces of your background skill set that are definitely the most relevant to what you're applying for. You know, especially if you're applying to things that are a little bit varied, right? So if you want to go into marketing, but you're applying to a sales position and then also to a social media coordinator position, I'm probably going to highlight something different up in the top professional summary. You can also reorder your resume depending on who you're targeting that resume for. So with that same example, let's say you have some experience in sales, customer service. You also have some experience doing social media for a student org you were a part of. Maybe you're going to flip the order and, you know, kind of, you know, we've talked about this in other episodes, but your resume is really yours to tailor. So it doesn't just have to be this like perfectly chronological list. You could have a new section that's called social media experience and you move that up to the top for the sales one. Then you move that section up to the top. So you want to, you know, you can get a little crafty with this.
Yeah.
Right. And kind of make it work for you. And the more you do it, I do think the easier it will become.
Yes.
And my recommendation is always like, have that master copy of your resume somewhere where you include everything you've ever included so that hopefully you can kind of pick and choose a little bit and it makes it easier when you're tailoring for a specific job.
And it totally makes sense for a lot of people to have multiple copies of the resume. So like having the master and then maybe you have one that's labeled social media. That's just for you to then go off of. But even then you still want to tailor it to specific companies.
Yep.
Another thing, too, is looking at that job description and literally pulling out some of their key like buzzwords and stuff that they use.
Yes. Good
and
call.
Plugging it right into your
resume.
Which feels, I always say it feels kind of weird because as students, you're taught not to plagiarize. Yeah. And so like, it's kind of the opposite of how you usually write, but you can pull.
Yeah. And you still make it your own. Yes. You're not pulling the exact bullet point, but
no, just the,
the keywords.
Keywords. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yep. I think that moves us to our last don't for today. I'm sure there's some others out there, but for today, this is our last one. And it's don't give incorrect or goofy contact information. So again, just like a lot of the others, it's pretty, it seems pretty self-explanatory, but just make sure your phone number is correct. Another thing that you might not think about is make sure that you've cleaned out your voicemail.
That's a big one.
That's actually a really big one. We hear a lot of complaints from employers, and I've run into this before, where you're trying to call someone for either a job position, an interview or whatever, and you can't get a hold of them. A lot of us screen our phone calls, which is fine. I honestly don't answer every single phone call I get. However, if you don't have something where they can leave a voicemail, there's absolutely no way then for them to get through to you.
And get frustrated.
Yeah. And I've heard employers say that they just simply after, you know, waiting a few days, maybe making a couple calls, like calling two or three times, they pick a different candidate.
Right. You can't assume that they'll just automatically email you.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a huge one I think a lot of people don't think about. And then you also want to make sure that your email is correct and it is one you check regularly. Mm-hmm. That's huge. If you're in the job search process, if you're like me, I check my work email every workday. And then my personal email, I probably check like 3 or 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. But if I was in the job search process, I would make sure to check it every day. You want to be on top of it if someone reaches out to you, because sometimes employer timelines are a little bit tighter and they want to hear from you as soon as possible. Make sure that, yeah, it's correct. You're checking it. And then with your email address, just make sure it's not a silly one, which I think now is not as big of a thing as probably it used to be. But I don't know about you, Megan. My first email address was when I was 11 and it was little_amazing13@hotmail.com. Yes. I still have access to it.
Oh, wow.
But I do not use it. And I would not use that on a resume, for example. So you can use your school email address. That's totally fine as long as you're checking it.
Yep.
So if you're about to graduate and you're going to be like, peace out, I'm not going to ever check this email address again, do not use that one.
Right.
You do have, I think, like access to your school email for years after you graduate. So you can use that one. Also, it's not a bad idea to just like open up a Gmail or something with just your name or your name and a couple of numbers. Right. That always looks professional.
Yep. Yep. But again, making sure you check it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a fun email?
Gosh, not that I can remember. Okay.
You probably did.
I definitely had a Hotmail, but
You've always been professional, even like preteen Megan.
12-year-old professional Megan.
Yeah. It was just Megan. What's your maiden name?
Oh, Kleinhexel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kleinhexel. 12.
Kind of a mouthful. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Probably something like that. Yeah. Gosh. I wish I could remember. Yours is so fun.
Well, I even remember the password. It was Speedos1.
And you still have this. So now you just gave away your password?
The password has changed. Okay. So good luck to all you hackers. You're not going to get into my Speedos Hotmail.
Oh, that's so good. Okay. Can we think of any other don'ts?
I think we covered a good number of
the
them.
Big ones. Yeah. Right. If you have any questions, obviously come and see us in the Career Center. Our Career Lab is open Monday through Friday. Come in, get it checked over, especially as kind of that final check for the typos and mistakes and things like that.
Totally.
To make sure you have that. Another pair of eyes on it. And don't forget, we also have a couple of other episodes on resumes that we will be sure to link to in the show notes. All right. So thank you so much to everyone for listening, and we hope you tune in to a future episode soon.